Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Delta Flyer's Journey Through the Wormhole with Quark, Dax, and their good friends, Tom and Harry. Join us as we make our way through episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Your hosts for today are my fellow Trek actors, Terry Farrell, Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, Garrett Wong.
For the complete version of this podcast, including all bonus material and an interview with Nana Visitor about this episode, check us out at patreon.com/the Delta Flyers and sign up to become a patron today.
Terry's I just love that. I was going to follow that with a double. I was going to what? But then there wasn't enough room.
You don't want to step on it.
No.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Holy cow.
Hey, Robbie.
Hey, everybody.
It's been a minute. Yeah. Nice it's to see you guys.
I know. Yeah. Coming back to talk about this episode, Second Skin, today. Very excited about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very much so. Can we jump into birthdays right off the bat? Just get them
yes.
out of the way.
Yes, let's do it.
All right. Starting off with our good friend, the youngest ever admiral, Shannon Bourke from Australia. December 10th is your birthday. You are a fellow Sagittarian like myself. Happy birthday to you, Shannon Bourke.
Shannon Bourke, happy birthday.
Shannon Bourke, happy, 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 happy birthday. Woo woo.
Oh.
We also have Mike Philman on December 11th. Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, Mike.
Happy birthday, fellow Sagittarian Mike.
And we have Carol Patterson, December 13th. Happy birthday, Carol.
Happy birthday, Carol.
Happy birthday to yet another fellow Sagittarian, Carol. Yeah. And of course, we have yet another Sagittarian on December 13th. Happy birthday to Estelle.
Happy birthday, Estelle.
Happy birthday, Estelle. And last but not least, we have Justin Weir on December 14th. Happy birthday, Justin.
Happy birthday, Justin.
One day before my B-day, Justin. Happy birthday to you.
Yay.
All right. And also, we have to have a quick hello and welcome to Tim Newmark, who is a brand new prophet. Welcome, Tim.
Welcome, Tim.
Welcome to the prophets, Tim.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Poetry synopsis time.
Robbie. Yes, it is. I was preparing. I'm nervous about today's.
It's long.
Oh,
Robbie.
Is it long?
You wrote a lot.
You did it.
Good for you.
Lay that limerick upon us.
Okay, here we go. For Second Skin. Mm. Who Kira really is gets way out of whack. Suddenly she's Cardassian and apparently an amnesiac. Gamor says he's her daddy. Entek turns out to be a baddie. Just remember, with Garrick, you better watch your back.
Ooh.
Wow.
Bam, bam, bam,
bam. Bam. You did it.
Yeah. Rebecca didn't think amnesiac was a word. I was like, that's a word.
It's not?
It's a word. Yeah, it's a person
Sounds
who has amnesia. Yeah.
Amnesia. Did you look
I
it
think
up?
I've heard that
did you
before.
Google it as well?
I Googled it. It's a
of
noun.
He did.
It is a word.
Yeah, of course he did.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Mine's much shorter.
Let's hear. Lay it on us.
Kira Nerys. Standing hard in her truth, she is in fact a queen sleuth, a survivor by her nature. To an enemy, she will not cater.
Ooh, nice.
Thank you.
Nice, Terry.
Like that.
Thank you.
Haiku time. Haiku time.
And we have some similarity, Robbie, because you have question marks in yours, in your limerick. I have a question mark in one of my lines of my haiku.
Here okay.
We go.
That's unbelievable.
You're flirting
with us.
There's
a lot of questions.
Just tell us.
I'm flirting with you to both.
You're a tease.
I'm teasing you both.
He is.
Okay. My haiku. Here we go. Kira the Cardi Shell-shocked Leggett's daughter cries. Order subterfuge.
Wow.
Wow.
That was very impressionistic
Thank you. Abstract.
And it had a question mark.
And it had a question mark like yours. Yes.
And it was dark.
Yeah, yes, it was.
I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Okay.
Written by Robert Hewitt. Why are we whispering?
I don't know.
Are we just doing ASMR right now for everyone? Yes. Okay. This is written by Robert Hewitt Wolf. Directed by Les Landau.
Yay. Uncle Les.
Yes.
Uncle Les. We love Uncle Les. I just want to just read this real quick little thing for you.
Yes.
Hold on a second. Yes. So Robert Hewitt Wolf's original idea for this episode revolved around O'Brien discovering that he was a deep cover Cardassian operative.
Who had replaced
the real O'Brien 20 years previously and had O'Brien's real memories implanted into his own mind. This would have meant that the O'Brien we first met in Encounter at Farpoint in TNG was actually a Cardassian spy.
What? Wolf?
Yes. Can you believe that? That's a whole different story, isn't it, guys?
Oh, totally different story.
It's not even close to... I don't think it would have been as good, to be perfectly honest. It was perfect.
It would have been very different.
So different.
Yeah. He was probably gone doing a movie.
Probably.
Yeah. Well, no. This is what happened. So Robert Hewitt Wolf ran into trouble with this idea when he had to try to explain how a Cardassian and a human woman, Keiko, could have had a fully human child, Molly, as their offspring.
Oh, you see what I'm saying?
That kid would have come out half Cardassian. Yes. So at this point, Wolf modified the idea so that it revolved around Kira instead of O'Brien. Thank God. We're happy about that.
Yeah, lucky us.
Yes. Wolf also says that he was influenced in writing this episode by the work of Philip K. Dick, especially the work Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, that book, which is what Blade Runner is based on.
Yeah, okay? That's what Blade Runner is based on.
And
so this
influenced Wolf, as well as there's a short story called We Can Remember It For You Wholesale. And this is the short story for which the film Total Recall with Arnold Schwarzenegger was based. So that's another influence. Those are the main two influences for Wolf in writing this episode.
Not a bad pedigree. Little Blade Runner and Total Recall influences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so. It's definitely. Let's talk about our guest stars. We have obviously Andrew Robinson as Garrick again.
Yes.
Gregory Sierra. Give it up for that man as Entek. What a good job there.
Great job.
I just felt that Gregory Sierra as Entek he played it so well in that beginning because you believed everything. You wanted it. He was so good and nice and slowly turning up the dial of the heat on Kira. Oh my gosh. Lawrence Pressman as Techni Gamor, who is the legate.
Oh, he was excellent too.
Yeah, so good as the dad. And Pressman loved playing the role of legate Techni Gamor, and he's an admirer of Avery Brooks, who directed him in his second appearance on DS9. So he gets to come back again, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh,
yes. It's very exciting to know.
I feel I read something about Gamor was maybe going to stay on the station. They thought about keeping him on the station. Maybe. Did I read that somewhere?
Yeah, that was in there. The father.
Yeah,
that I did not know.
I read something about that they were maybe going to keep him on the station and decided to send him off.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they were thinking of making Entek a recurring character before they made Garrick shoot him at the end. Yeah. We have Tony Papenfuss as Yeln. I think Yeln is the individual who was supposedly in the Bajoran prison camp with
him. Yeah.
Right. That's who that was.
The plant or whatever.
Yeah, the plant. Mm-hmm. We also have Cindy Katz as Yutepa. I think Cindy was the strange woman that was up in the balcony area looking down the beginning that looked like one of those.
Oh, yeah.
You remember The Shining?
The two
girls. That's like one of the twin girls or the two twins combined into one character.
It was creepy.
That was very creepy. She later played Kajal on Voyager in Flesh and Blood, the seventh season episode Flesh and Blood. Yes. We also have. Do we have everyone? Yes. Billy Burke. Billy Burke.
Billy Burke.
Yeah.
Oh, who played Ari, the guy who, yes,
The
that
GQ
comes to,
Kardashian, the really
yeah, he was a handsome
handsome one.
guy.
Oh my goodness. You can't hide those cheekbones, that
His
jaw.
name's
Jaw.
But he
Billy
was too
Burke.
cute to kill. What?
Billy
Billy the
Burke.
heck?
Billy
Billy
Burke.
Burke was also the name of the woman that played Glinda, the Good Witch in Wizard of Oz. I think that was Billy Burke.
I did not
Really?
know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was
So
like, Billy Burke? Glinda the Good Witch is on this episode? Who?
I
Who was
missed
she?
it.
I know.
I blinked and missed it.
This is the very first episode of DS9 to have the music composed by Mr. David Bell. So this is a little milestone or a new person composing, I suppose.
Thank you, David.
Yes.
Yeah.
We do have a couple more people. We have Christopher Carroll, who played Gul Benil. That is the Cardassian that was trying to inspect their ship, the Cobirian, the fake Cobirian ghost. If you
Yes.
remember him, yep,
Love
good
that
job there.
scene.
And also Freda Thomas, who played Alenis Grimm. That is the Cardassian lady who was trying to interview Kira for her
From the
time in, yeah, from the
archives,
archives. That's
that lady, yeah.
Miss Thomas there. Yep, and that's all of our guest stars
It's a
and
lot of
co-stars.
Cardassians,
There's a
a
lot of
lot of guest
people.
stars. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and one of my favorite co-stars, correct me if I'm wrong, Robbie, was the
Who?
fisheye lens.
There was some use of
Oh
the
yeah,
fisheye the
that for
first time he
sure
showed up.
character.
Definitely.
I also noticed in this episode, again, very dark lighting. And this was, Marvin had gone on to our show. And so this was a new DP.
This is Jonathan
So,
West
yeah,
and
this was
his lighting then.
Jonathan.
Okay.
But I did notice, like, it's a noticeable difference with Jonathan's dark. He embraces the dark and the shadows and not always seeing the faces clearly, letting it play in silhouette in a way that I think is really interesting.
So do
Yeah,
you
I
are you a
loved
fan
it.
of that though, Robbie? Are you a
I thought it
fan
worked
of that?
great for this episode. Yeah. Yeah, I
Yeah, I
liked
think
it.
it was like a film.
Yeah.
It really felt like a separate film. Yeah, I really love this episode. Nana's incredible in it.
She really is.
Yeah.
She's very good. All right. So the first scene we've got here is at the Replimat. And
Yes.
we start on Dax,
Yay.
as
Start on
we
Dax. I don't
should.
look
Yeah,
very happy,
Carrie.
though.
No, you don't.
Well, no, you're not happy, but it starts with a very borderline creepy line from Quark. Why don't you tell your Uncle Quark all about it? I'm like, I
Is
don't
this
know.
the only scene that Armin's in this episode? I think it may
I
be.
think so, yeah.
I don't remember seeing him in any other scene.
Well, yeah, we're also missing Colm. Colm's not in here at all in
Calm's
this
not in the
episode.
episode,
And
and Sirak's not in the
Serac's not in
episode.
this episode either.
Well, I think this is the only scene with Quark, but Quark checks in with her in his creepy way. He thinks that she stood up. He thinks that you
Which
were
Dax
waiting.
does not take creepy in the least.
No, you
No.
don't. You don't.
She says she's waiting for Kira, who shows up moments later. She's late. Quark and Kira discuss holosuites a little bit. Quark tries to convince her how awesome they are. She says, "No way, no thank you. Definitely not with you. You'll regret it," which I like that little exchange. He sort of backs down. Okay, I'm out of here. And off goes Quark. Kira tells Dax that she's a little nervous to do this the sailing, holo sailing of some kind. She
Yeah. Is
doesn't
it
want to
sailing?
crash. Yeah, they were going sailing,
Anti-grav sailing. So
anti-grav
that's a little
sailing.
different than standard sailing. It's dangerous, more
Yeah.
dangerous, I think.
Oh, is
Anti-grav.
it? Could you get so there's not safety protocols or oh, so she could get hurt. Wow.
That's what I'm
Maybe.
thinking.
Well, she's nervous. She doesn't want to crash. And then Kira gets a call. Yeah, I've never seen anyone take a call in the Replimat before, but she takes a call in the Replimat on
Yeah,
a
that was
side
just
monitor.
convenient.
Yeah.
Dax has a line, guys, before the call comes in that right Dax says, "Don't worry, you won't crash. We'll start out with an easy simulation like sailing across the great." And they wrote ERG, erg. Doesn't matter who you are. When you say erg, you sound like a pirate. I was just like, couldn't they have chosen any other name other than the great erg
Erg.
on New
Apparently
Mecca?
not.
No,
It's
they went with
a
that.
little Easter egg to pirates.
To pirates. I love
Rob, who
pirates.
knew Robert Hewitt Wolf has a pirate sort of fascination, and this is how he gets it
Arr.
in. Erg. Okay. Then
Man,
the
well,
call from
yeah,
Ops.
then she gets a call. She takes on a side monitor, and it's a call from a woman named Alanis. She's from the Bajoran archive. She wants to discuss when Kira was a prisoner at the Elemspor detention prison, so a Cardassian prison. Her records come up, and Kira says, "Oh no, you got the wrong person. Wasn't me."
Yeah.
And then Elena shows her a picture, like a file of prisoners, and it's her. It's definitely
Kira. Her
with yeah. long hair. With long hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess Kira was a prisoner, but she doesn't remember it.
No.
And when she heads out, this is where we see the creeper, that creepy alien up in the.
It's just the way she was dressed. Wasn't it a shining moment to everybody?
Yeah.
It was like,
Yeah, she just appeared. Bad guy.
Exactly.
Could you have omitted that for both of you? Would it that kind of pan to her? What if it was never there entirely? Just never showed that person. Is it important?
You didn't need to.
Yeah.
No. Because I mean, it does set up a little bit of a, there's a threat she's not aware of. So when she gets kidnapped.
Yeah.
But the second time we see her, it's an uh-oh as well. And it's the same kind of uh-oh. So it wasn't like it happened in threes. It was just two.
Okay. I bring this up just because if you recall, Robbie, in the one episode where we had the guy that was a Cardassian agent dressed up as a human that was O'Brien's friend from the ship, okay? Remember how at the very beginning, he turns away and his face goes from smiling to drop to nothing. Then it shows him going in. That. Yeah,
it's very obvious.
This is the one where all of us were like, hey, you just ruined it for us. You really showed us that too quickly. So this show, the image, the pan to this weirdo woman up in the balcony, is that similar to what happened in that other episode for you two, or you're okay with it? Because I feel like
me, the first time that you're talking about when O'Brien's friend turns out to be a bad guy, that was unnecessary information because I don't know why we needed to... We should have believed that.
No, it was bad information.
It's bad.
Because it gave us telegraphed too much information.
Way too much. Yeah.
And then we had no mystery to solve.
Right.
It was like, he did it. He's bad guy.
Yeah.
And now how are you going to prove that he's the bad guy is all we're sitting with? But it took us out of taking the ride of discovery.
Okay. Okay, so this did not take you out of the ride of this episode then?
No, because she was not pretending to be good or she was
She didn't say anything or do anything except for we see her. That's it.
Okay. She's a creeper.
It was ominous. It was ominous. And she was by herself. Nobody was passing by, really. It was sort of just like telegraphing. Not a good thing.
Yeah.
And let's just give it up for David Bell with his music score. He definitely put the tension there with all the background music.
It was a good score. The best part about his score, I didn't know that this was his first time. And it felt like a typical, it fit right in, I guess, is what I'm saying, which is good. It should. It shouldn't feel different.
Yeah, it shouldn't feel like it stands
out. He did a
great
job.
Too much. Yeah. Okay.
We go to the security office next. Odo thinks Kira just doesn't remember. He said it was 10 years ago. You know, you probably just don't remember. She's like, I would remember if I was in prison.
Yeah.
And she remembers every detail of this winter. She talks about having no cells for their phasers, very little food. They were hiding in caves. Mm-hmm. So she remembers that winter and she was not in prison.
It was a rough winter for her. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Odo suggests, well, maybe you can talk to some of the inmates that were there. Maybe they'll remember something that'll remind you. So we go to ops and she's made a call to one of her cellmates. Named
Supposed
cellmates. Mm-hmm. He seems very sincere though. I bought a great performance. Like he didn't seem
me
like
too.
He was lying. Yeah. I totally thought Kira's got the memory problem, not this guy.
Right.
Yeah. He remembers her. He thought that maybe they had dragged her out of there and killed her or something. So he's glad to see she's alive. Seems very friendly, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. She is very confused because this guy remembers her, but she doesn't have any idea what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. Goes off to a corridor. She's walking to jump on a ship, a runabout, I guess, or a transport ship back to Bajor. She's going to find the truth about this. And Sisko's there to send her off. They have a very nice, warm moment. Short little scene, but seems very warm and very good chemistry.
He's very
there.
Supportive.
Very supportive.
Mm-hmm. He has her back.
Wait, so Sisko escorts her to the airlock? Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sisko doesn't see Creepy Lady at all in this?
No, because he turns around and leaves, and
she
passes.
She goes
in the opposite direction. or passes or he goes in another direction. I can't remember.
Okay. I must have blinked on this part. So thank you.
Well, if I were Cisco, I would have seen that lady and gone, that's a creeper. Because she would.
She looked like just another. She's just another passenger. If we hadn't seen her standing up on the promenade second level,
we wouldn't have known.
We would not have maybe that's why they had to put it in. So it indicated more. So otherwise it would just look like another passenger getting on.
Okay. So then that pan was needed earlier then. Okay.
Makes sense. It confirms that she's a creeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For sure.
Maybe she's the president of the Kira Nerys fan club.
We go to the Replimat next. Bashir's, wandering in, looking for Garak, I guess. Because he says, I went by your shop and it was closed. So it sounds like Bashir's kind of looking for him. Like, what's up with Garak? Yeah. Why is his shop closed? Yeah. Finds him in the Replimat. Garak says nobody's buying any clothes right now because of the threat of the Dominion scaring everybody off, scaring all my customers off. Starting to sound like Quark a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
He's allowed. He's a business owner.
Allowed. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Small businessman.
Yeah. And we still don't know if he's a spy or not.
Yeah.
Garak?
He was.
He's still a mystery man. That's for sure.
Yep.
Yes. Yes.
As he remains.
I do like this episode, though, in sort of peeling back another layer for his character, for sure.
100%.
A lot of new stuff happens. Bashir says that his trip to Clystron 4 was incredible, that he just got back from this trip. And Garak does get a little jealous there. He says, I miss traveling, but space is so dangerous now. And Bashir says, do you think if you traveled that you would be killed by the Cardassians? Garak sort of blows it off. Oh, you have such a vivid imagination. So more of Garak's confusing, contradictory comments that he has.
Yes.
My dear doctor, you have such a vivid imagination. Love Garak.
That's a pretty good, you were doing an impersonation.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm just going to say it right now. I could be Team Garak at some point. I feel it.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, I'm definitely Team Andy.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're all
definitely. Team
Andy. As far as guest stars are concerned.
What a guy.
Yeah, we're Team Garak.
Yeah.
Okay, so next scene, we go to ops. Cisco gets a call from the archives lady. Archives lady's like, where's Kira? She's supposed to come here. She's disappeared.
Yeah.
Cisco's very
creepy
concerned.
Creepy fan club president has kidnapped her. That's why, clearly.
And I'm concerned too.
And Dax comes over very concerned. Nice move forward there into the shot.
Yeah.
I had to find my light.
Yes.
The truth. Is always what's
that's really true.
What she just said,
when you're acting a scene, you're not just thinking about your lines and your feelings and all that, you're looking down for tape on the floor, so that you're standing on the right mark, you're looking at where the lights are so you don't shadow yourself,
or you're feeling the light.
But this is where your peripheral vision is most important, because you can't. You can't just look down at it. You have to kind of glance as you're approaching it.
Yeah.
So that's where rehearsal is really important. Even if it's for, at least I used to do this, take steps and do my lines just to make sure I got the spot. Of course, the more practice you get, the more you do it.
Yeah.
The more it's second nature. You don't have to think about it.
Yeah. I worked with, in a daytime soap opera, I worked with an actor named James Mitchell, who was phenomenal. Phenomenal older actor, real veteran of a million things. And he had this technique. He would often, his scenes were in his house or in his office on the soap. And so he'd lay props of mail, like bills and letters and things like that. He'd lay them around on the set where he could write his lines down, the lines that, just cues.
Yeah. And for everybody, soaps, you get a new script every day.
Every day.
But I auditioned for one, and new people that were on them, that's a hard job.
It's a lot of changes.
It's a lot of work.
Last minute changes too.
But James Mitchell would go over, he'd pick up the mail and he'd get his cue, but it also gave him a reason to look down so he could see where his mark was.
Oh God, that's brilliant.
That is genius.
And so he'd pretend to be like sorting through the mail, but he'd be able to glance down at the mark and see his cue and not sit there with a, you know, deer in the headlights look on his face. Then, he was great.
So that's smart. Advice for all actors out there to find really some business, use some business you. That helps you pick up props where you can look down and see your mark. That's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. James Mitchell.
Smart man.
So Kira's disappeared. We just found out. Mm-hmm. And we found out that Dax is very concerned. That's important. Dax
yes, I am. Really,
yes. Because she had already prepaid for her holo sailing activity and she could lose. There's no refunds on that.
I just rescheduled.
Oh, you can reschedule?
Okay. Well, see, this is where it pays to be kind to Quark.
You have the capability to reschedule as Dax, but not Kira. Kira doesn't get a reschedule.
She doesn't get a rain check coupon.
No rain check coupon.
Nope. So Dax is very concerned about losing her deposit. Anyway.
My word.
We go to Ileana's room. So this is, we'll call it Ileana's room because it's who we learn they think Kira is this woman Ileana.
And this scene starts out darker than any other scene we've seen.
That's what I was talking about. My goodness.
It is like in a cave.
Yeah.
But it's meant
it's appropriate for the story. It's supposed to be.
And a gorgeous set.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful.
Gorgeous set. Just really super high end. You can tell she's in a very wealthy place.
From a family of status.
It's definitely not a jail cell.
No, it's not a hovel. It's like a mansion that she lives in.
Well, this scene is basically the reveal of Nana in the makeup. So that's one reason it was so dark. So that we wouldn't see her she sits up into the light.
And then
looks in the mirror.
And she looks gorgeous. I mean, she looks gorgeous with the nose, but somehow with her dark eyes, like, just like ink.
Yeah.
Ink black. Yeah, her eyes look so, it was stunning.
Yeah. She could pull off the makeup. Yeah. She could definitely pull it off. Although I will say, I did notice, I don't know if it was this scene, but there's one scene where the prosthetics on her neck, the edge was not blended and you could definitely see where the
several some makeup boo-boos in this, but there are a lot of people doing the makeup
It's weird. Like when I first saw her, the makeup is so, like, you're like, oh my god,
so intense.
It's intense, but I saw like a really, for some reason, it's just so non sequitur, but a pretty peacock face. Like, to me, she was a beautiful bird.
Oh,
the way she looked, just something about her just was very,
very regal.
Yeah, a regal bird, basically.
Well, they wake her
up.
Peacock
for her.
They hypospray her awake.
Yep.
So clearly she's been sedated. Mm-hmm. They hypospray her awake. She doesn't know where she is. She looks up, sees herself, and we see that she's Cardassian in the scene. It was so dark in there. I thought it was like a jail cell, but you're right. Once we got more... pulled back, you see this luxurious apartment or whatever.
Have a question for both of you.
Yes.
It says, when Kira wakes up, she says, where am I? Then there's a line from Itepa. So creepy alien girl has a line
here.
Oh, she
had a line.
It's all right. You're safe. Do you guys even recall her speaking? I
remember somebody, but I didn't put together it was
that
her.
It's her then.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Well, that was her. I think we cut away to a commercial there. We come back to the same spot. Kira is just beside herself.
Yeah.
She doesn't understand what's happening. We meet Entek in the scene, the doctor, who explains that she was a Cardassian undercover operative. She infiltrated the resistance, the Bajoran resistance, and now he's given her medication to reverse her memory loss and gives her a recorded statement, gives her this like file. He says, if you don't believe me, just... look at this. It's a personal statement you recorded before you were sent to Bajor. Just watch it. It'll explain everything. And if you have questions, just ask me. So, she's got a whole story that she's unaware of and just can't believe it. She's beside herself.
It's absurd and she's enraged.
Yeah.
Just because they changed her appearance doesn't mean they're ever going to convince her she's a Cardassian. And she says as much.
Yeah. I was also thinking when he hands her the recorded statement, all of a sudden my mind went to AI and how they can have people like, video clips of people saying things that they never said because AI can mimic Their voice can mimic their look. So I feel like if I were her, I'd be like, I don't believe this recorded statement. I don't believe any of this. Like, you guys could AI all this, and
we wouldn't have a story.
True. And we didn't have AI back then.
No, not like
when they
that.
Wrote this episode. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've got new technologies now that these writers couldn't even imagine, I don't think, back then.
Yeah. It's also of note that this is the second time that we hear of the Obsidian Order, this very selective and secretive organization, basically their CIA, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, I kept thinking, man, I could watch a whole movie, or I could watch a whole series on, like, a spinoff on the Obsidian Order itself.
The Obsidian Order.
There's so much stuff going on there. It's just so much intrigue and subterfuge.
Scary.
It's just
And Garak was a
whole
part
Cardassian
of this, right?
Spinoff.
God,
yeah.
Yes. Couldn't you see that? I mean,
yes,
I think
100%.
I think that'd be amazing.
That'll be our next podcast. We'll do the Delta Flyers.
We could
the
all be
Obsidian
Cardassians.
Order. Yes, we'll all be Cardassian spies.
Why not?
And then it turns out that this isn't really a podcast. This is, we're really Cardassians who made it to look like humans.
Human beings.
And we're invading Earth.
Yeah.
And this
we were
great.
Yes. So the Cardassians basically put us on Earth as human actors to go on to Star Trek to infiltrate as humans. But in reality, we're Cardassians. So we're trying to,
This is genius.
It's amazing.
This is a genius idea.
I want to be a Cardassian now. I want to play a bad.
The whole Star Trek franchise is a cover for an Obsidian Order.
It.
Yes, this is great.
The whole Star Trek franchise is an Obsidian Order master plan, Robbie?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yes. You heard it here, folks. First time right
who
here on the Delta
Flyer. Who were the guys?
Which
were
guys?
The guys for the Nazis that were like, they're
the SS?
The SS. Yes.
That's what it was making me think of. And I thought SS. And I'm
hey,
like,
guys. It's very similar because the SS, this is the OO. It's two words. Same
Obsidian Order.
Obsidian Order.
You see, O-O. I don't think that's an accident.
I don't think so either.
Mm-mm. It's not a coincidence. Mm. It's all part of the Obsidian Order plan.
Mm. Very interesting.
Okay, so where are we now, guys?
Well, we go to the wardroom next.
Stop it.
I'm happy to see the wardroom because this is a new set this season.
Yes.
This conference room. I would call it a conference room, but I like the wardroom. It's nice.
Yeah, we keep it.
I that's what
are
I hear.
Are you happy to know? Is that all right if I spoil that thing?
I think you told
we
us
get
that.
To keep the
Armin
Defiant and
that.
Keep the wardroom.
Yeah.
Spoiler.
Well, we're in the wardroom. Sisko, Dax, and Odo are trying to figure out where Kira disappeared to, and they're very worried she might be dead. Basically, it's a worry scene.
Yeah, and the worry comes from because they have some residual electrostatic charges that they have detected. So they think, maybe it's a beam out. But then Dax, our science officer, our brilliant science officer,
after
is the
Odo
one.
Leaves.
Yes, after Odo leaves, Dax is the one that tells Sisko, hey, those residual charges, they could have been left by a disruptor or a phaser that is set on kill. So now we think she may be dead. She may have died. We don't know.
And it was nice that Sisko said, I know, instead of thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yes. It was nice of him not to.
Wasn't it? It was kind.
Yeah, not to call you out. We go to the Cardassian surface of the planet.
Yeah.
This is a shot I think we saw in an earlier episode. It felt like.
We did. It's a reuse of that. Exactly. Good call on that one. Although they actually extended it longer. Then they started a little bit later and extended it a little bit longer. So it looks a little bit different. The guy on the screen that's talking, the 1984 George Orwell type of, message, that message is different. And the two people start off in a different orientation that are kind of watching it, and that goes on a little further. So it's a little bit different, but it's still, they reuse that
it
general.
It felt really familiar, like we saw it on the other episode.
Yes, on a prior episode, yes.
And I've done that too with establishing shots or things like this where you don't have the money to go shoot a new shot or create a new shot. So you just take an old library from a different episode. You steal it because it's free.
What was the name of that episode? The one where he's in jail, when O'Brien's in jail in the Cardassia, and that's the name. That's the one where we see it on.
I can't remember the name.
It's like a stock shot.
Yeah, it feels like a stock shot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you'll take those stock shots to make them different and you'll flip the negative. So you'll turn it around. So it's the opposite just to make it look a little different. They could have done that on this one. They could have flipped it and then it would have felt like a different angle or something.
Well, Robbie, is this like painted? Is this one of those kind of things? Or is
it's
like
probably
a glass
layers
plate?
Of things. It's probably a matte. Yeah, there's a matte element to it. There's a burn-in for
painting.
The screen.
Yeah.
There's probably a green screen for the guys in the foreground, the people standing. So it's a,
oh,
it's
right
a
on
layered. Of, cool. Yeah. That's why it would have been expensive to do it again. So yeah. They already paid for it. Just use it.
Exactly.
Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, don't panic. We've got a secret source for incredible original gifts, and that's Uncommon Goods. They've got unique, hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list.
Skip the gifts that scream last minute and find something truly original at uncommongoods.com. You know, last Christmas, I got my sons and their partners gifts from Uncommon Goods. I got my youngest son and his girlfriend a pasta-making kit so they can make pasta from scratch together. And I got my other son and his wife an herb garden so they could grow their own herbs at home. Both gifts were big hits.
When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out.
Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade.
Looking for a gift you don't have to worry about getting lost in the mail? Check out Uncommon Experiences. Uncommon Experiences are more than virtual classes. They're unexpected opportunities to have fun and connect in new ways. From tarot card reading, lunar astrology charting, cooking and mixology classes, crafts, gardening, and much more.
And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice.
To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TDF.
That's uncommongoods.com/TDF for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com. Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
And now we're in Ileana's room.
Oh, yes, we are.
Now we're back in her room. She goes over to the window and kind of puts her hand up, and there's a force field there. So she realizes she is trapped in here or being held. Mm-hmm. And then she picks up the data rod, considering looking at her pre-recorded message. But the doorbell rings and it's Entek.
Is this the one though, when the doorbell rings and then she puts down the rod and then she goes over to the couch and kind of, you know, pulls herself into.
Yes. Yeah. She's kind of brooding there. Yeah. And then she says, enter. And that's when Entek enters. Entek enters. Look at that. Okay.
Entek enters with another guy. We don't know who it is yet, but it turns out his name is Gamor.
Yep.
He lives here. He's a legate.
He's snarky too. I don't appreciate being kept waiting in my own house. So now we know.
Yeah. Clearly the status. Yes. He's an important person.
Big time.
Entek introduces Gamor as her father.
Yeah.
She does not like this because she says, my father died fighting Cardassians.
Yeah.
So she's not convinced about their story. She's not convinced this is her father. But Gamor says, can we have a moment? A little privacy. And he's very tender here. He says how much he missed her.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want to hear it. She's angry still. I'm not your daughter. And he's very patient. He says, you'll remember in time. So
would you guys say legate is the same as senator, maybe? Would that be the correct?
Yeah, probably a close
approximation of what
in the Senate in the United States, in the U.S. Senate, or maybe a parliamentarian or something.
How was it spelled?
L-E-G-A-T-E, legate. I do like the name Ileana as well.
A member of the clergy, especially a cardinal representing the Pope.
Oh, so kind of a religious reference there too.
Mm. Yeah.
I just like legate because I think of Legos, and I like Legos.
I think of Legolam when I hear that, actually. So.
Oh, my word.
Legos
two
are
non
fun.
sequiturs. Legos is fun.
Legos
lamb
are
can
fun.
be fun as well
Are
if
you
you
the
enjoy
May? Are
lamb.
you the May?
Are you the man? She's speaking Espanol to everyone now. That's
See?
her secret way.
All right. Well, he says, take your time until you remember. Just make yourself at home. Consider yourself a guest, an honored guest. So he's being very, very kind and very
Very
gentle with her.
fatherly.
Very fatherly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tender.
We go back to the station for the next scene, and I have a big question here. So Bashir's turning off the lights, he's putting things away. This is the hospital. Like, you don't close the hospital down. What the heck is he doing shutting down the infirmary?
Well, he doesn't need to use all of that energy and he can go to his quarters. And if there's an emergency, he can pop back into the.
I mean, I guess
Or if there's an
technically,
emergency, he can
yes,
make a
that's
house
also.
call. He can make a house call. He can go
But we've
to
already set
wouldn't
up several
wouldn't you?
times where we've walked in there and it's been dark.
Oh, have we? Oh,
Yeah.
okay. So Robbie, it
Interesting.
has just like deli hours, basically. It's
Yeah,
just they
exactly.
suddenly
It's like
open for
bankers. It's like a
yeah.
bank. It's like banker's hours.
Yeah.
I just felt like there should be like a nurse or a nurse practitioner or somebody in
Yeah, that's
there
on
who's
call.
Nurse
Like, yeah,
practitioner.
I'll see it. See you tomorrow. See you. I'll call you if there's an emergency, doc. Good night.
Yeah.
Like, you wouldn't shut this place down,
No,
but
no.
yeah.
Just, have Morn hang out there for a
Have
bit.
Morn be
No,
the
ew.
nurse.
No,
He could be the Morn could
Sorry.
be a medical person.
No, there's just all kinds of things wrong with
Wrong
Morn
with that
running it.
idea. Hey,
Yes.
isn't your character the one that said you love how his eyebrows stick, those few little hairs come out of
Character,
his
my
chin? Oh,
character.
sorry, your character. Isn't your character the one that said nice
Yeah, the
things about
wiry
Morn?
hairs are sexy or some
Yes.
crazy like that.
Yes.
Yes, no, but I would not want Morn.
Morn as your nurse. All right.
To examine you.
No.
No, that's
No. If
fine.
we were
I
going
would
to have
not
that,
want
we should have
Morn to examine
a
me,
medical
either.
ensign.
Yeah.
Yes, a medical ensign in there would be
Yeah, you're
appropriate,
fine. But
but
just,
it
yeah.
wouldn't set up that we're going. And really, why not just go with the flow?
Okay, I'll go with the flow.
Robbie, how about
He's
this?
shutting down the
As what
hospital.
if this? You walk into the infirmary when it's closed, and the
Yes.
minute it senses someone's there, a hologram of Bashir appears saying, "Hi, we're closed right now, but you can
Okay,
reach me in my quarters if you need
that actually
emergencies."
that's a
Makes
great
sense.
idea.
Maybe there's a
Thank you. holographic doctor program like we have
That
on our
greets
ship.
you. Yeah,
Yeah,
we just never
maybe.
meet that
You
person,
never
but
meet that person.
okay.
Yeah.
All right, so he's closing up. He's very tired, by the way. He's like he's walking so slowly from one station to the other. Clearly, he's exhausted. It's been a tough day. But
Yeah.
Garak meets him at the door,
Yeah.
says he has great news about Major Kira, and that's it. It's a quick scene, except for Bashir's very slow walking.
Yes.
I was like, "Come on, dude, move, walk a little faster." It was very
Was
slow
there
for
a
him.
dolly in front of him that he couldn't walk into? Was that part of
I
the
don't
issue?
know. There's another scene later
He
on
was
with
acting
Kira.
tired.
He.
Yeah, he was acting tired.
By
Exactly.
walking extra slow. Okay.
It was a little extra.
All right.
We go to Gamora's home. Now I'm not going to call it Ileana's room anymore.
Okay.
We're in the palatial Gamora home, and she's searching for surveillance device. She's looking under desks. She's looking for any kind of wiretaps or,
Yeah.
cameras.
Yeah.
Gamora arrives with some food. He's made her some Bajoran Hasparat. He does mention in the scene he's a member of the Central Command, so he's a bigwig. She does notice the sculpture on his desk, and Gamora gets very sentimental about it. He says, you carved that for me when I was promoted to Legate, and says she was a great artist and that she was also very stubborn, like her mother. Garak gets mad when he mentions the mother because she says, my mother died of malnutrition on Bajor when I was three. Very sad moment.
I want to take us just two
Yeah.
lines back. There's something really nice that Gamora says about this, really is a tell about the kind of human being or the kind of Cardassian he is, pardon me.
Yeah.
But that he says she was determined to join the order and thought it was her duty. But personally, he thought that Cardassia needed more artists,
I
right?
know. I love
Which,
that.
yeah, that was very much more a sympathizing point of view and
And a
gentle,
sensitive perspective,
sensitive.
like as
Yeah.
opposed to just being a military guy, he really values the creative side of their culture and that being a Cardassian is more than just being a military person.
Yeah, well, and his tenderness is not what we've seen in Cardassians as a personality trait.
Yeah.
We also get a little bit more insight into the chain of command in Cardassia. We realize that the central command really is kind of untouchable. Like, because he says the only reason why the surveillance devices would be turned on would be from my request only. You know, I have the power. So Obsidian Order is definitely
answers
below.
To central command.
Yeah, they definitely answer to central command. Although in this episode, we see that the Obsidian Order definitely has higher ambitions to be more powerful than the central command as well.
Well, he does say he regrets letting her join this Obsidian Order mission. He didn't want her to do it. And Kira, basically at the end of the scene, she's like, you know what? Your stories are great. Everything, you know, sounds really good, but I don't believe a word you guys are telling me. And he apologizes, I think, at the end. He's like,
I just want you to know I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What he says. That's the end of the scene. It's a powerful scene,
like,
though.
Seems like a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does.
But she's not buying it.
No.
Not yet.
Meanwhile,
back in the security office, they're talking to Garak. Sisko's there. Odo's there. Garak says he's told them everything, that Kira's being held by the Obsidian Order. And Sisko's like, all right, well, the three of us are going to go to Cardassia. We're going to go find her. And Garak panics in the scene.
Yeah.
He's like, hilarious. No, I can't go. And Sisko's, well, you know, the Bajorans have been saying maybe you're not the right guy for us here. So I could put in a good word for you or not. It's up to you. So he blackmails him in the scene, basically. I like at the end when Garak admits that if anything dangerous starts to happen, I'm going to abandon you. And Sisko says, that's the first honest thing you've ever said to me.
The first completely honest thing ever said to me. Great line.
Yeah. But they're going to, Sisko's idea is they're going to go undercover. They're going to have false documents. They're going to reconfigure their shield harmonics so that the Defiant doesn't look like the warship. It'll just look like a Kobarian freighter.
Right.
So they've got this whole undercover plan, but sounds dangerous. And I don't blame Garak for being nervous. I wouldn't want to go on this mission.
I only do because I get to fly the Defiant.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I have my priorities straight.
Yes, you do. Well, we go back to Gamor's house, the palatial home of the Gamor family. Entek's there. He wants answers. You know, he says he can give her injections to help her regain her memory. Gamor says the injections may not even work. And Entek just wants to ask a few questions about what she knows. Gamor tells Kira that he'll be nearby if she's concerned. So this is where we start to sort of feel like, oh, this guy Entek, who seems so nice in the beginning, he's got an agenda. He wants to talk about something, and that he's not as soft and nice as Gamor, as the guy who's her dad.
Yeah, not at all.
Yeah.
And then also, this is like her second set of injections, because he gave her one like right at the beginning, right?
Yeah, and it's just not working. It's not getting them what they want.
And we know why.
Yes, exactly. Gamor says he'll stand by. He'll be close if she needs him. And there's a little time dissolve here. Entek is questioning Kira, but she just plays games. She's not going to tell him anything.
That's our girl.
Yep. She's avoiding answering anything, giving him a lot of... She's playing games with him, basically. But this is where Entek says, all right, if you don't believe me, if you're not going to cooperate, I'll prove it to you. And he calls he calls for this exhibit S1983. Send it in here immediately.
Oh, this is harsh.
Yeah, this is so harsh.
So he beams in this gurney, and it's got a dead Bajoran and Kira. They pull back the sheet over the body, and it's Kira sees herself.
Kira. Yeah.
Kira as a Bajoran.
Yeah, I got to say, because I haven't seen further episodes, I at this point I'm thinking, my God, this is insane. She really is Cardassia. I was starting to buy it. Hook, line, and sinker at this point. So
yeah, I will say one of my challenges with this episode. I like this episode, but one of them was tracking kind of Kira's journey, and I felt like there was enough clues in here that what they're saying is true. I wish that Kira had started to believe it. I would have liked for her to have been convinced that this is true.
Oh, you don't think she never believed? You don't think she ever believed it then, Robbie?
I feel like she kept resisting it. Like, even these moments when she looked at herself, she seemed very moved. But then in the next moment, she's like, I don't buy it.
Like came out of it too quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the end, I feel like when she does break down and cry, that she does believe it at that point when he's holding her and says, look, I'm going to get you out of here. Do you remember that when she finally
but that's coming here. Up, right?
That's coming up. Not yet.
But yes, she's got enough information. I wish the script had given her the opportunity to sort of go, wow, I totally buy this now. I can't believe it.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish she had they had convinced her somehow.
Okay.
I think that still could have worked with the Obsidian Order trying to set up this trap to get really ultimately Gamor. Spoiler alert, but that's what they're trying to use Kira to take him down. Ultimately, we find out.
Right.
But I think it would have helped if she
had gone. You guys are getting ahead of the story.
I know. I'm sorry.
Spoiler alert.
No alerts. Let's just.
Red alert. Ding, dang, ding, dang, ding, up. Dong, bing, bong. She sees herself. And then later on, so another commercial break, we come back. She's starting to maybe believe it, I felt like here. Yeah. Entek reminds her when she fired at a soldier, but she ended up killing a Harakat, I think he says.
Mm-hmm.
A mother Harakat,
right? And she can't believe it. She's like, I never told anyone about that. So she's starting to believe it here. I just wish there had been more of it. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
She's starting to believe it. The story that she never told anyone about killing a cat.
Yeah.
Entek says if he wanted to force the information he wants out of her, he could. Mm-hmm. He could force it, but he doesn't want to do that. So he's kind of threatening torture, it sounds mm-hmm. like, in the scene.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
But he does say that the Harakat story was implanted in her memories. Like, it didn't really happen. So that was in that monologue.
More mind games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know about it because we placed that story in your memories, Ileana, just like we gave you every other memory you have. That line, that huge-ass monologue.
Oh, yeah. He's got the big speech. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're not doing a great job of brainwashing her at all. Mm.
Yeah, because if you say, oh, this thing that I mentioned that was a secret story we implanted, it doesn't prove anything. Whereas I wish they had proven to her that you really are Cardassian and she had embraced it somehow. Like, that would have been, to me, a more interesting character story. Whereas I feel like the whole time she kept resisting. Anyway, I won't get ahead of it, but that's my one.
You already got ahead of it.
Challenge.
he also, in this scene, Entek, at the end, he does say, you were one of my best students. And the way that guest actor played that, he did play that with emotion. Very, like he was getting teary-eyed about this, you know, and he's
like he cared about her.
Watch the recording, think about what
I was kind of afraid that he was going to reveal that he was like her fiance.
I know.
Right, there was just that kind of moment of like, oh god, no, she will not be able to handle this at all.
And Tech goes, Ileana, you and I have a love child. We actually had one son. Yeah, we have two sons and a daughter that you don't know about, but okay.
And watch Kira implode.
Yes, exactly.
What?
Exactly. We do come back after the scene from another commercial break, I think. We come back. She's using the pad to try to disable the force field and open up the window. She hacks the window open.
Yeah.
And then Gamor, her dad, walks in and says, you know, you tripped the silent alarm. So I knew you were trying to escape. And he says, I want to help you. I'm here to help you. And he begs her to watch that recording of herself, which she finally does. And it looks like Kira, it's very convincing. Maybe this is Garrett, where you were going like, she really is Cardassian. That's what I wanted her to believe. Like I wanted her to articulate it and embrace it. And
yeah. And again, I felt like she played it in nonverbal. I mean, just she acted.
I just wanted the verbal. Yeah.
I know you want verbal. Excellent. I know you want words, Robbie.
I want words. I want speeches. I want her to almost like go to the other side and be against Sisko and everybody. Like that would have been.
To get brainwashed. But then that would have to be a two-parter. There's not enough time.
You're right, Terry.
There's not enough time.
Yeah. But Robbie, you're right. That would have been great.
Robbie, your head is in a two-parter. Possibly a three-parter.
Possibly a whole spin-off series.
Probably a whole season worth of
Kira the Cardassian. Yeah. Maybe.
And we could call her KC.
Yeah. KC, yeah.
Or it's called Keeping Up with the Cardassians.
Oh, no, you went too far.
All right, so she does put it in the console. She watches herself talking about going on this mission, and she's going to have surgery and look, you know, no longer look like a Cardassian. She's going to have the surgery to look like a Bajoran, and they have to stop the Bajorans, and everything lines up.
Okay.
This whole speech lines up with what she's been told. Yes.
Yeah. Question for both of you. Is this speech, do you believe this to be the real footage from the real daughter, Ileana, that they use to show her, or is this doctored?
It's completely doctored. It's AI.
It's AI. Like, that's not her body.
Yeah.
You know, they're
but the
bad.
Thing is, the dad,
they could have taken a whole nother Cardassian and done all this to them.
Yes, I agree. But I'm just saying, her father says, please check out the thing. So I feel like he also,
oh,
you know what I'm saying? This is the
right.
real, this is the real, real thing. Because the dad wouldn't have said, please check out the thing. Gamora wouldn't have said that. Does that make sense, Robbie? So this is not doctored.
I guess so. Yeah, because the dad
is pushing this on the daughter. Please watch what Entek gave you. Please. Because he already knows that Entek and him have been talking. And
that
he's
makes
like,
100% sense.
You have to play it that way. You have to.
Yeah,
believe
you
it
need
to be
for
that.
It to have been really
the
Ileana.
Real deal. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
So wait.
Come on, Robbie.
Now my head's exploding more.
Come with Terry.
Because if Gamor, the dad, looks at Nana Visitor as a Cardassian and says, you look just like my daughter, then that's true. He had a daughter.
And he hasn't seen her for 10 years.
Yes. His daughter is really undercover, deep, deep undercover.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, because dad's telling the truth. It's the other guy, the Obsidian guy who's made all this.
Yes. But if dad says, please look
because
at the file from Entek, right?
Yeah.
So he's gonna...
But our bad guy knows that they've kidnapped Kira because she looks so much like Ileana.
That they made her even more, Cardassian, exactly. She's the perfect candidate for this.
Okay, so we're back on the bridge of the Defiant next. Sisko is in his undercover look. He's got civilian clothes on. Odo drags Garrett onto the bridge of the Defiant, says Garrick's been... Did I say Garrett?
You
drags
did say
Garrett.
Garrett.
Yeah, Odo drags
Odo dragged
Garrett.
Me, yeah.
Which is weird. I was like, why is Garrett on the bridge? Garrick.
Can I just make a quick comment? Did you see the undercover civilian clothing that Sisko's wearing? Did it remind you of what O'Brien wore when he went on vacation? That same,
very similar.
Dancing with the Stars kind of ensemble.
Well, no? Collins was a little more, O'Brien's was a little more fancy.
O'Brien's was? Okay, that was more Dancing
shirt
with the Stars. That, yes.
And,
You're right.
And Sisko's was way more low-key.
This is a little more pedestrian looking. Okay, we got
A little more Bajoran wear.
Yes, it was.
Bajoran wear.
Well, Odo drags Garrick in, the Cardassian. He's been snooping around the main phaser banks. He says, I was just stretching my legs. I love Garrick always has, he always has an answer for everything.
Oh, and so many one-liners in
so
this episode
many.
from Garrick. It reminded me of the original, like, James Bond, like Roger Moore, James Bond with those little one-line tags. I just love them so much.
Yeah. But he comes in and then Dax suddenly sees two Galor class warships, Cardassian warships, approaching. They use the communications holo filter to talk to them. So I guess they've programmed in almost like on Zoom, when you put those filters on, you get like a rabbit face or, you know, different filters. This was the Star Trek version. But
it was very cool.
It was very cool. Sisko looks like a Cobirian captain. They're supposed to be a Cobirian freighter. They've redone all of their, I guess, you know, signals that if anybody scans them, they're going to look like a freighter. If they call them, he's going to have a filter on, look like the Cobirian.
Just to add right here, that shot when he's doing the holo filter as a Cobirian captain, that is stock footage from the original Cobirian captain from the episode Duet. So Avery Brooks actually lip synced the very first sentence of I am the Cobirian captain, blah, 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 is lip syncing of that actor.
And the actor was saying something else?
No, the actor was saying, the actor, that footage of him saying I am blah, 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 the Cobirian captain. That is basically Avery Brooks dubbing his voice into that, the exact same words as that prior stock footage. That's all.
Got it.
Yeah, it's cool, well, though. I mean, they
it was
used
very
that.
Cool.
Yeah. But Norman Lang, the original actor in the makeup, was not credited in this episode. Could he have been litigious in this
He probably
instance,
could
Robbie?
Have.
Okay.
Yeah, he probably could have.
If he even knew about it, right?
Yeah, he could have called the union and said, hey, I did a thing where I said lines and then they dubbed me, but I said the lines.
Yeah, it's still me.
I had to act.
But, you know, in all fairness, that last season of Deep Space Nine, they contacted me every time they wanted to use a clip.
Did they?
I always said yes. That's paramount.
Yeah.
So, that's one of the reasons. Well, we'll talk more about that later.
When we get
but
there,
I would imagine they would have reached out about the clip. And even if they didn't give him credit,
I'm sure they paid him
for the clip.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Let's hope so.
Good.
That'd be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, on the bridge, I guess the bridge of the
Defiant
is where Sisko's talking from with his filter on.
Yeah.
This guy, Benil, is that how you say his name? Benil? Benil, tomato, tomato.
Go Benil.
He's pretty aggressive here. He's like, prepare to be boarded. They're heading towards us. This guy doesn't believe them and wants to look at their at what they're carrying, because doesn't he say something about the Maquis?
Yeah, the Maquis activity is up at Mrize in this sector, so they are ordered by the Central Command to inspect all incoming ships.
And then Sisko does use that Gul Benil, when he comes back on, he says, our Turanium is urgently needed on Cardassia.
Oh, yeah.
I would hate for you to have to explain why it was delayed. And that is an argument that's been used in a prior episode.
It doesn't work. The guy still wants to come on board. So that's when Garak says, drop this filter thing.
Yeah.
Let me talk to him.
Yeah.
I can get us out of this if you let me talk to him. Sisko thinks about it. He's like, okay, stand by. Garak pops up on the screen, tells Gul Benil, angrily tells him that this is an Alpha Red priority mission. He gives him a verification code. He says, stand down, erase all records of this encounter, speak of it to no one. Benil does look up this verification code. Seems legit. It works. Benil apologizes. And then Garak's explanation is, well, it was just something that I overheard hemming someone's trousers.
Classic Garak.
Love Garak.
Man. Team Garak.
It worked. He gets them off of this inspection. And so they continue on their undercover mission on their way. Yeah. And he's threatened him. Don't speak of this to anybody. So they're still safe in this cover. Back to Ileana's room. Entek is asking her questions. He's asking about Starfleet ships, numbers. How many ships? What are the ships? And she's kind of cracking a little bit. She's kind of saying, I don't know. She seems confused to me in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know how I was reading it too? She's at her wit's end. How the hell does she get out of this?
Yeah.
This is insanity. Yeah. And she knows who she is, but she's stuck in all of this Cardassian plastic surgery and
and the stories
no
and the
way
video
out.
She saw. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
no one's
terrifying.
Here to help her. She's
and
she's losing it.
Also, the other huge thing is she has not eaten. Remember this. She turned down that Bajoran food. So there's no food in her either. So she's not.
She's a bird.
True. Yeah. She's a bird.
And isn't Entek like over her shoulder and she's just kind of staring off almost just a PTSD.
Oh, it's so upsetting. Yeah.
Entek's getting mad. He's starting to get very frustrated with her. And Gamor comes in, tells him, stand down, stop drilling her with all these questions. They get into an argument.
Saber rattling. Yeah.
Yes. Between these two. Yes. Gamor kind of pulls the Central Command card, I think, in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And,
he sure
and
does.
Entek does stand down. He relents, says that he will see her next time at the Obsidian Orders facilities. So that's definitely threatening.
That's a threat.
Torture
her. Yeah, that's
her.
Bad.
Yeah.
And this is where Gamor is holding her. She's just been like staring into space. He says, I will protect you. I'll get you off of Cardassia.
Sorry, Robbie. She goes over to the mirror and stares at herself. And that's when she's She hits the
smashes the mirror.
Then she falls to the ground.
She falls to the ground into his lap, sort of, right? Doesn't he hold her?
Mm-hmm. He holds her like a dad would.
Yeah.
It's very sad. Mm-hmm. He's got to protect her. And she doesn't know why. She says, Why would you do this? Why would you get me off Cardassia? He says, Because you're my daughter.
Yeah, there's nothing I wouldn't do for you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Very sweet.
Even if it means losing you again.
Yeah.
That was so generous and sweet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone wants really Gamora cares as a for dad. Him. Yes.
He's a good dad.
Good daddy. He is.
Even if he's a Cardassian.
Yeah.
We come back into Gamora's home a little later. Kira's looking at the carving again. Gamora enters. And he's got a gift for her. He's got her mother's bracelet.
Yeah.
And she initially is like, oh, I can't take this. Mm-hmm. I can't possibly, you know. He says, no, there's no arguing. I can be as stubborn as you.
Runs in the family.
That part of Kira fits this Ileana person. The stubbornness, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is the time where Ari, the GQ Cardassian himself, the Cardassian arrives. And he is the person that's going to help get her off of Cardassia.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because now this is where Kira learns that Gamor, her Cardassian father, is a dissident. He's somebody who doesn't agree with the way Cardassia is sort of doing their business. So, and Ari is a member of this underground group as well, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But Kira not only realizes that they're dissidents.
Yeah.
But she goes, wait a minute, if you're dissidents, then maybe all of this with me is to get at you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So she's
our queen sleuth.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. She kind of figures it all out here. Because if they suspect him of being a dissident, they're going to have to get him to betray himself. She kind of puts the whole plan all out there. She puts it all together.
It's kind of like she channeled Dax, because Dax always knows what's exactly. up. So she did a Dax thing.
Well, that was nice of you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, if they catch him helping her, they set him up, basically corner him to, because they know how much he loves his daughter.
Right.
If they can set him up to help her, then they can take him down.
Yeah.
And that's when Entek enters with two guards. Doesn't he walk in and say he overheard all that. Very astute, Major. You couldn't have done any better if you were one of us.
So he's impressed with her skills.
Clearly. Yes. Yes, with her sleuthing.
Mm-hmm.
They kill Ari right away. I was sad.
Or is he stunned? Do you think he's dead? Because he falls down. He didn't get vaporized. You know what I'm saying? So
that's going to happen in a minute. But he's still alive.
Right.
But Entek's very happy. Feels like he's in control. Says this is going to bring down the whole dissident movement. That's when Sisko and Garak arrive. They toss a bag. It's just Sisko and Garak.
Yeah.
With a bag. And they toss the bag over behind Entek, near Entek or something. And then the bag morphs into Odo. Very clever.
Why a bag, though?
I don't know.
Could have been anything. It could have been a ball. It could have been a bean bag is all you need. Just something small.
Stop.
Sorry.
It's a bag.
It's a bag.
Fine.
And they went in. Well, they couldn't have been undetected, but maybe Garak came through as sort of the liaison.
Like an obsidian. Yeah, he probably had some info to help him get there.
Does that help at all?
Or maybe they said, we're here with our bag to take the trash out. We're going to put all the... We're the trash man. We're going to put the trash in the bag. No. That's why the bag, it had to be a bag.
We're Cardassian janitorial services. Okay, fine.
Oh, my word.
I believe it.
You know what? This is beyond the nitpick. This is, you don't have anything to complain about.
I am channeling Jason Oaken. I am channeling Jason Oaken. I'm allowed to do that.
Well, he's going to talk fisheye lenses. That's all I have to say.
Probably.
Well, the bag turns into Odo.
Yeah.
They're holding Entek and the obsidian guys at gunpoint.
Odo's the one that snatches Entek's phaser out of his hand, isn't he?
Yeah.
That shocked look on his face.
But Entek asks Garak, like, why are you helping them? Yeah. And I loved Garak's response. He says, treason is in the eye of the beholder.
I love that too.
I know.
It was beautiful.
That one. Yeah.
And I think the way that Entek speaks to Garak, you get the understanding that they're either equals back in the day or Garak was even higher than him, you know?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, but he doesn't understand why he's helping these traitors. And I love his line, treasons in the eye of the beholder. And they leave with Kira and Gamor, our adopted father. We've all adopted him as our father.
We love him.
Garak then turns and Entek's kind of making a move to go for his phaser, and Garak vaporizes Entek in this moment. Yeah.
The concealed weapon, the secret phaser.
Yes.
I'm glad he did.
I know. He's Entek is vapor.
And kudos to the actor playing Entek. He really he acted being vaporized very well as well. He was like completely shocked that this was happening to him, and that's the end of him.
And Garak says, "Pity, I rather liked him."
Yeah, another James Bond moment line there.
Very cool. Cool as a cucumber.
Yes.
We're back on the space station for our last scene here. Kira is a Bajoran again. She's back to her normal self. She says it was all, you know, Bashir told me it was all just surgery. They bring up the witness from prison who you know, remembered her, and he's disappeared. So he must have been a plant. Gamor says that they used her because they knew that she would resist, that she's stubborn. Kira's stubborn. She's going to resist. And that he would be drawn into trying to help her escape. So she was right.
Here's an interesting little tidbit. Writer Robert Hewitt Wolfe wanted Dr. Bashir to tell Kira at the end of this episode that he could not confirm whether she was a Cardassian replacement or the authentic Bajoran Kira, in order to leave Kira permanently unsure of her original identity. He felt this would emphasize that our identity is based on our experiences and who we have been, regardless of one's actual origins. She has been Kira Nerys. She may be the real Kira Nerys. She may be a replacement, but she's Kira Nerys now, and it doesn't really matter. Your identity is who you are. It doesn't matter how you get there. It doesn't matter whether it's true or a lie. If you've lived it long enough, it's true. However,
sounds like something Garak would say.
Yeah, there you go. However, this idea was dropped from the final version of the story. So that was one direction they were going.
We like to be sure of our heroes.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, it would have been weird if they left it that way, though. Yeah, agreed on everyone's point.
Yeah. I think it would have been a little ambiguous. Yeah. Unless it was a two-parter, like I would like. And then,
then we would have been good. He could have played that out.
But Gamor does leave her with a little advice. He says, don't trust Garak. He's dangerous and he'll betray you.
Yeah.
And I thought that was an interesting kind of foreshadowing, or, you know, more mystery around Garak, which I love.
Yeah.
Kira tries to give the bracelet back at the end, but he wants her to keep it. He says, you're the closest thing to family that I have.
Yeah.
And again, super sweet.
Yeah.
And Kira does want him to know that he's an honorable man. That's a big step for Kira.
Huge.
And she got broken up too.
Yeah, she was getting emotional.
Yeah.
But that's the right time for that emotion. That is the absolutely right time, because it's the first time that she's seen how the other half lives. She's been fighting against Cardassians her entire life. She's seen Cardassian brutality. She's seen Cardassian murders. And now she has, in essence, lived in the skin of a Cardassian, literally. Yeah.
And seen good ones.
Seen
too.
Good ones, she's exactly.
Well, really at least one, for sure.
At least one good one. It kind of reminded me of that show Mom Swap or Wife Swap, you know, where the mothers from each family go to another family. Yeah. The messy family mom goes to the neat family. The neat family mom goes to the messy family. And they learn how the other half lives and become a better person after that. And I think that Kira definitely evolves or is more enlightened after this episode. So
For sure. There you go. All right. Second skin.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Lesson, theme, or moral of this episode, Robbie McNeil.
I think the theme or moral is that what I have is people can surprise you and be better than you expect.
Okay.
That was my takeaway.
Okay.
Yeah.
Terry, what do you think?
Well, I had don't judge a book by its cover. So yeah. I'm sorry, mine was more like a little...
A saying. Similar idea. Yeah. Don't judge people by what you expect.
Mm-hmm.
They may surprise you, be better than you think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess for me, it's more along the lines of to be a complete person, sometimes you need to learn how the other half lives or how the mm-hmm. other, you know, the people that you've been contentious against.
It reminds me of when we were in grade school and the teacher would pair us up and you're thinking, oh, not that kid. That right. kid, oh, right. they don't like me. I don't like right. them. Right. And then by the end of the day, you have a new friend.
A new friend. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting how that works.
Yeah.
What is that saying when they say a friend is someone you haven't met? Is that
A friend is a stranger
you haven't met. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well, the winner of our Patreon poll for the theme moral of the episode is submitted by Alex Ray. Who and what you are is more than skin deep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Like it.
Great, Alex. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in to our recap and discussion of Second Skin. Now, coming up in our bonus material for all of our Patreon patrons, we have an interview with Nana Visitor about her thoughts and experiences in filming this episode, Second Skin. So sign up to become a Patreon member to get this amazing interview, patreon.com/TheDeltaFlyers. For everyone else, please join us next time when we will be recapping and discussing the episode, The Abandoned, with Armin. And we want to thank Terry for joining us this time, of course.
Thank you.
Thanks, Terry.
And thank you.
And Patreon patrons, you get a little bit more Terry coming right up in your bonus material.